You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE has closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And with me tonight, as always, it's a double header. And I've got Nick Kunze from Sanlam Private Wealth and David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities with me. David, start with you, as I normally do, age before beauty. The interest rate cut was a sort of a surprise, although to my credit, I had a bet with Scout Lowe from PSG last night on air, and I've won my first bet for the year. So I sort of got a hint from the way that the markets were reacting that there would be something.
I think it was necessary. I think if you look at the momentum in the economy, I think they were forced to do anything. And I think Lesetja Kahanyaga, the governor, summed it up. You know, he said that inflation is anchored. Overseas, things are looking slightly better. But if you look at our economy, there's not much momentum in it. So there was no reason to keep the rates at these levels. It wasn't going to do anything. And if anything, he's suggested, in the outlook that there could be another one in the fourth quarter as well, the way they put it. So I don't think it's a surprise. I'm baffling to think that the market really responded to it, because I think that the market's gains that we made today are really on the back of, they're on the back of the resource market, but that's more to do with what's happening in global markets, and our US market's strong. So I'm not sure I would scream headlines that the 0.5% cut has really helped our market turn around. But Nick might have a different view.
We were chatting this morning, or rather chatting a couple of days ago, and we said that we thought the Rand would actually strengthen marginally if they did cut, and it wouldn't be the situation where the yield chasers then immediately abandoned South Africa because of 25 basis points. And indeed, the Rand has gone very, very slightly stronger.
It's 14.40. Hey, it was 14.35 for most.
Shot out to 45. Sorry to Buddy. Bounce back to 35. It's sort of in the mid-range. And look, I think my view is that I don't think he had a choice. I think, you know, there's only so long you can be stubborn and be overly hawkish. I mean, last year alone, I can't remember the exact number. I think there was like 37 or 38 central banks around the world globally cut. You had, and in the emerging market space, it was even more severe. You had Kenya, China, Zambia, Mexico, today Egypt. You had Turkey cutting below the rate of inflation. Even the emerging market space are aggressively cutting. I mean, the government and its committee is only so long they could sort of almost be behind the curve. And quite frankly, I don't think it was a bad call. I know he's worried about Moody's, et cetera, but I mean, a quarter point really is not going to make a difference to Moody's decision, quite frankly. I actually don't think it was a bad call. I think it was long overdue. And maybe finally showing a little bit of being proactive. Lindsay, I know you've been quite vocal about this too.
Yeah. I don't know whether 25 basis points would do much for the corporate world or to the market world or to the man and woman in the street. Obviously, it's a relief for people that have debt, whether it be a credit card or a mortgage or something like that. But 25 basis points is a step in the right direction, David. He could have been bolder, though.
Yeah. No doubt. I don't know. They're taking it cautiously. I suppose they're waiting till the budget to see what happens with Moody's and whether that has any impact on the Rand. The way they're acting, they certainly expect something to happen on the Rand. You know, they are positioning themselves for some decision there.
The voting was unanimous, which I also thought which was quite interesting too. There was no dissenters. Right. Unanimous vote.
Very good. Let's have a look at the markets now as a backdrop to the rest of our conversation. 14.40 is the dollar rand, British pound against the rand 18.81, and the euro rand is 16.06 with the euro dollar 111.45. The euro slightly stronger there. The United States, Dow Jones just doesn't stop. It's up another 150 points odd, 29,185, up around about 0.5%. S&P up 0.5%, going through 3,300 for the first time. It's 33.05. NASDAQ up 0.8%, new all-time record high. It just doesn't stop. In London, the FTSE down a bit, down 0.5%. Actually, DAX down a little bit in Frankfurt. CAC 40 essentially flat. On the commodities markets, let's have a look at that now. Is that the right gold price? $1,555, the gold price down one. That's up a couple from this morning. Platinum, $1,017, was up $38, $40 yesterday. And palladium, Nick Kunze, what's the latest there? A new high?
Yeah, new high, the only commodity that's up shooting a lot, so 2.3% up, $50. Yeah. Another new high, $2,320 an ounce.
No, come on now.
Bearing in mind, Citigroup's year-end target price is 2,500. They put that note down in December, 2,500. Yeah. We might hit it next week.
Yeah.
2,300.
It's got all the proportions. It's all the, you know, all the proportions of a serious bubble.
And it's gone, I'm
not. Listen, I love it. I'm not. I just watch it, and old Bickard and old John Bickard and Neil Froneman must be saying, "What the hell happened?" You know, because I as much as I admire them for getting it, you know, for positioning themselves and for the gains in Sabania and so on, I don't think anybody forecast this. This is completely puzzled everybody, but that's what markets are. I love it. You know, I think it's great.
What have they played?
It's great fuzz.
Yes, it is. What have the PGM producers done, Nick, on the back of this?
Yeah, look, a little bit, funny enough, a little bit muted. I mean, in fact, if you look at Implats, it was up a little bit, it just shot up recently, but I mean, it's up 3% now. 150 it closed in the auction. They squeezed it up in the auction. But no, it's pretty good. As I said, it wasn't much reaction this morning. They're almost unchanged. Yeah. But as the US opened, as the palladium price started running, it just ran away with it again. And you got to be brave to stand in front of this palladium train at the moment.
And but listen, as long as they can keep selling at these kind of levels, and I hope there's some kind of forward sales that they can enter into on the palladium market, but they must be just churning money at the moment, the producers.
Yeah, 1441 on the rand and a palladium price at 2,350. Yeah. I mean, this is like the Christmas that keeps on giving, really.
A couple of other headlines before I go to you, David, for your other news outside of the Reserve Bank. South Africa, it says here, scours state coffers in bid to rescue SAA. It's almost as every 6 months they say, well, it needs a bailout. Yeah. And now I think they're selling a number of aircraft and a number of spare engines and a couple of power generators, and the bids have to be in by the end of the month. And they'll probably do quite well out of that. But how long can this go on, do you suppose? Because it's becoming embarrassing now. I wouldn't fly South African Airways, I'm sorry.
Well, you saw the headlines this morning. You know, they're short of $2 billion that the Treasury was supposed to provide. The banks have provided their $2 billion, but not the Treasury. And Treasury are trying to sell assets in order to achieve it or to get the $2 billion. But without the $2 billion, they're not going to be able to, literally not going to be able to fly. So I think this is it's a very messy situation. And you certainly be careful when you fly SAA about, you know, maybe the domestic flights are okay, but international flights, be careful if you book too far ahead. I don't want to sow panic in any way, but it just doesn't seem to be coming right. And I don't know what the story is with Treasury. We haven't heard anything out of the business rescue people or any plans or where it's heading. So we're still in the dark with regard to that. But it's a very difficult situation, and I don't think we've seen the worst of it. This is it's going to be very difficult for it to survive without mass layoffs and mass restructuring. So, you know, I think the longer we kept in the dark, the better we are. You know, the more our markets can keep going up as well. So we can bury our head in the sand over this one.
The problem with SA, just to compound it from a business rescue point of view anyway, is a lot of the fleet is leased. You know, they don't actually own many of the assets. Mm-hmm. So if you're a sort of a business rescue practitioner walking in deciding what you can sell off, I mean, as you said, you know, besides a couple of generators and maybe a bit of stationery, you know, it doesn't really have much, to be honest. It's just long-term leases. So it's very difficult. Yeah. They are completely 100% relying on government bailout. It doesn't make money, and it's unlikely to make money. So,
talking of layoffs,
the sooner it's put to bed, the better.
Yeah, talking of layoffs, the we've got a sort of a Massmart style story coming out in the last 24 hours with Telkom, because they've sent a letter to the union saying they may lay off 3,000 people. What the fallout will be with the unions, maybe strikes, we don't know. But the point is that it has boosted the Telkom price, and I think someone must have known about this a few days ago, because Telkom's gone from below 30 to its level now of above 36 rand per share. So people rewarding the brutality of retrenchments as they did with Massmart.
Well, we saw exactly the same. I think people started to look ahead and say at least action is being taken. But I think what when you respond in this way, and it's the same as Moya, it's the same. Oh, sorry, not Moya. It's the same as Ian Moya at Woolworths, the Massmart story. There's a huge upfront cost to this. You know, when you lay off people, you've got to you know paying the retrenchment packages takes a big chunk out of earnings. Yes, it might forward earnings. You know, if you discount forward earnings, there might be a positive brief. But I mean, in the meantime. It does cost in the short term, and I, you know, it's heavy. I mean, when you take action like this, these are heavy-handed actions in order to support the company.
I was going to say, especially within the South African context too. I mean, our labour laws are onerous to say the least. And Telkom, having, you know, being partially owned by the government as well, you can be rest assured they're not going to get 1 week for every 52 weeks worked, you know. But that's right, David, and you're right. I mean, this is not going to be a cheap exercise.
No, and you know, the sadness is that laid off, it's unlikely that the people laid off are going to find any other job. And that applies to the Massmarts, you know, closing their stores. It applies to, government having to reduce its balance sheet or its wage bill. The same with SAA, you know, with the retrenchment packages that they're going to have to institute. Eskom, if it is going to go into any kind of rescue issue, they're going to lay off thousands, but literally thousands of people. So we're going to see mass protests over this. So I sit here and I watch the Rand and say, listen, can this thing hold? You know, when all of this unfolds. Anyway, I'm not, you know, what's got to be realistic? It's not a matter of taking a pessimistic view. You've got to actually look at all the risks that face us. Anyway, the markets are holding.
Yes, the markets are holding indeed, and the U.S. market is quite extraordinary. I just don't know where this is all coming from. I mean, a trade deal without any detail pushes the market higher. The U.S. president is being impeached, and the market is in the longest post-war phase to the upside ever. It's extraordinary.
Do you know it, Jens? It literally is just the equity space. So after the trade deal came out yesterday, a bit more of the sort of the barometers of that trade deal. So the likes of soybeans. I mean, soybeans fell on a heap. They dropped almost 2%. Went down to the lowest level in 2 months. You know, that is supposedly the big talking point. You know, they're going to buy. China was going to buy agricultural goods. Soybeans has been the barometer, so they fell over. You know, there's been quite a few Goldman Sachs missed on earnings. Been quite a few negative hits lost in the last couple of days. Bond yields. That curve is actually flattening in the last few days in America, but the equity market just carries on going. So it's almost dislocated from a bit of reality at the moment.
Okay. What about our equity market? Is it dislocated from reality? Well, let's have a look at the movers. I may be slightly delayed with these, Nick, so if I get any prices completely wrong, please correct me. I've got Telkom up 5.3%, Royal Bafokeng up 4.6%, African Rainbow Minerals up 4.6%, Sibanye up 4.5%, and Northam up 3.5%. So you've got platinum, diversified platinum, and gold and platinum in the top four or five, and the other one is of course Telkom with the news of its layoffs.
And copper under the ground,
exactly. On the downside, Vivo down 8.2%, Shoprite 4.5% lower. Sasol 3.9%, Massmart down 3.8%, and Life Healthcare down 2.5%. Just on the Sasol story, gentlemen, I was talking to a commentator this morning, and it just seems to me, I mean, apart from the latest incident at Lake Charles, and apart from the Rand and the oil price itself, there is an influence out there as well, and that's people getting out of fossil fuel producers. And the reason I say that is because it's been a movement for quite a while. We've had the Norwegian sovereign wealth fund getting out of anything to do with oil, and that's a $1 trillion fund. But also BlackRock saying they're selling $500 million worth of their coal assets by the mid-2020. So I think people are shunning these type of companies, David.
Absolutely. And, you know, Sasol actually hasn't got the cleanest record around. I mean, even internally, locally, there's been a huge amount of worry about their carbon emissions. So I think this is a company that has to do things to address those issues. But you're right. You know, after the Veld fires in Australia, you're going to see completely different attitudes towards investing and also towards climate change and clean emission governance, the ESG as they call it, environment, social and governance. So I think any company that doesn't pass the test, and it's going to be coal mines, it's going to be smokestack companies and that haven't addressed this issue, I think are going to find pressure by investment groups. And you know, once an investment group's on you, it's very hard to defend it. You know, you just, you know that you're going to find a lot of pressure at meetings and so on. So I think get used to it. But I wonder if there's not another story with Sasol as well. I know we had that fire at Lake Charles. They haven't come out with any other statements. But when you look at a chart, you know, I just give up on the share every time it starts to show some kind of form and news goes up. It passes the 300 Rand mark, you know, 310 thereabouts, and something comes out and back it goes. And I think today we're back at 280 odd, a share, you know, going back into the downtrend, going to test those bottoms at around about 260.
Yeah, I also look at, I mean, you know, if you look at the actual, just what the cleanest thing we got out there, which is the price, just the price of Sasol, the last couple of weeks, the price action, you know, we had, well, going back a few months even, when we had the drone attack over the Saudi Arabian refineries, and the oil price spiked up 18-odd%, or was it 9% that morning. And then more recently, obviously, with the attack by the Americans on General Soleimani, again, also a massive spike in oil, back up to $70. I mean, amongst all of that, the best that Sasol can do was try roughly get over 320 rand a share. That's with oil having its biggest spike in years. All it could make was 320, which is a far cry from the days of 400-500 rand a share. So given that background and given the price, the oil price has now subsided, you just wonder what's going to get Sasol back up there.
No.
It's just really battling to get any sort of price action on this.
I know, that's my point. And if we look at the lows, it's hit those lows quite a few times.
Mm.
You know, 1, 2, 3 times, even 4 times, I think. All within here from August last year, a couple of times trying to bounce up at the 300. And now we're heading down, I think, almost for the fourth or fifth time down to that 260.
The Rand is 14.43. Mm. So, I mean, it hasn't a big move, but let's call it, it's 0.4% weaker. The natural gas price is down near multi-year lows with the heat wave they're having at the moment in some parts of North America. And the oil price currently is on my screen is now 1.35% up. So those are the three factors of inputs into very basic sort of maths on Sasol. They want a low natural gas price for gas to liquids. They want a high oil price and a weak rand. They're in the sweet spot. The stock's down 4% almost.
Yeah.
You know, it literally, there is no buyers, no matter even when in the spot where they should be buying it, which tells you, like, the minute this market rolls over, the Sasol's going to sell off even more. It's not going up on the up days, and it's selling off hard on the days where it should be going up.
Okay, so we know where we all stand on Sasol then. Nick, give us the closing indices and the value traded, please.
Okay, well, let's have a look here. So we have all share is up 0.26%, closing 153 points up. It's in the green, and the top 40 is 0.25% firm, 130 points up, 51,965, just back under in the last few days, under 52,000. And looking at the sectors, we have platinum shooting the light side, as you said, on the back of the palladium price. Energy shares didn't have a bad day. That sector up 2%, basic materials 1.4%. And on the downside, obviously, if you look at the likes of consumer cyclicals, 0.53% weaker. And industrials, also a little bit of a lagger today, down 0.3%.
Okay.
That's strange, hey? You know, Lindsay, that's very odd because we had an interest rate cut. I know we've had some very good days in retailers, but ShopRite down today quite significantly. Clicks, Woolies. I'm trying to pick up some others that have fallen, but Truworths came out with a trading update that just showed a very, very poor, virtually, I think, no volume increase. We've been waiting today. I thought Fashini was going to come out. I thought there were going to be a release of some trading updates today on the retail side that would give us an idea of what happened the holiday.
There's a couple tomorrow here, David.
Oh, is it tomorrow?
I think okay. Woolies, even though we've had a bit of guidance recently, they're out tomorrow. There's a few. Yeah, so there are quite a few out tomorrow. So you're right. That should give us an indication of how the Christmas trading went.
But against a drop in interest rates and a hint of more, there was no response here.
Nothing, zero.
Response.
What was the value traded today? Any better than the 15 we had yesterday?
Clap your hands. Round of applause, please. 20.1. We just sneaked over 20 for the first time this year. So
very nice.
Slowly back.
Last word from you, David, before my quote of the day. Anything you want to impart?
I haven't got anything to add to our talk. I think the only thing that baffles me is the palladium price, but at the meantime, we're rejoicing. We're rejoicing. I think just overseas markets, there doesn't seem any stopping. I'm not going to stand in the way. You said of the palladium train, I think there's also an S&P train. We know there's going to be some kind of slowdown somewhere along the line, but who knows where that's going to be. Is it going to be 2%, 3%, 4%, 5% higher, or is it going to be now? In the meantime, I'm celebrating these gains.
We spoke about South African Airways earlier on. You just mentioned trains, so I'm going to have my quote of the day from the airline industry. And this comes from a gentleman by the name of Sir Richard Branson, the founder of Virgin Atlantic Airways. He says, if you want to be a millionaire, start with $1 billion and launch a new airline. That's not bad. Okay, gentlemen. England are 220 for four with a couple of overs to go in the day.
220.
220 for four.
He's a Stokes again, your mate.
Yeah, I know. I love him. He's my hero. Hey. He's fantastic. Anyway, gentlemen, thanks very much. We'll speak to you next week together on Tuesday. That was Nick Kunze from Sandon Private Wealth and David Shapiro from Sasfin Securities, both from Johannesburg. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.